believe what he is saying to me. Amen and amen. Before I read the scripture for this morning, I want to remind you to get a Sunday handout. This Sunday, this Tuesday, April 11th, we as New Life get to participate in the Holy Week services, community services, and at the Baptist Church. And we, along with the Unity Church of God, are going to be providing food. There's a lot of blank spaces back there, so I want to encourage you to go by. We need some people to come and help serve and to help clean up, and also to donate food. If you don't have time and you're working the week, and if you just want to give me some money to go buy some sandwiches or whatever back there that's needed, then be a blessing in that way. Then we can do that part for you this morning. Amen. So go back there and look and see what you can do for this particular day. Yes. Plus the what? No. I was going to remind you, I looked, and no, they're doing the dessert and chips, and we're doing the sandwiches. Amen. Hallelujah. Standing for reading for the Word of God this morning. I woke up this morning, and I went back to sleep. When I went back to sleep, I dreamed we was in church service, and the Word of the Lord, it came forth, and he was saying, tell the people how much I love them. He said, I want you to tell the people how much I love them, and that nothing they have done, nothing they can do to earn, nothing they can ever do to earn my love, that I love them right where they're at. So I want to encourage you this morning to receive the love of God. And once you begin to receive a revelation of how much Jesus loves you, it will propel you into your destiny in God. Because if you have a feeling of unworthiness, if you have a feeling that God's love is like the love of humans, you know, because we as human have weaknesses, God has no weakness. He's a God of perfection. And he loves you right where you're at this morning, with all of your flaws and everything else about you, because in his eyes, you're perfect. And we stand before him today in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to read in Romans this morning about the love of God. It says, God's everlasting love. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he be not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Yet in all these things, whatever you're going through today, in all those things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For we are persuaded that neither life, death, angels, principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things that are happening right now, can or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing has separated you from the love of God. He's not turned his back on you. He's got you in his grip. And no matter what happens, you can't wiggle yourself out of it. Because his love is running to overtake you, and you are more than a conqueror in him and through him because of his love for you. Amen. And Father, we just thank you for that today. We just ask you to baptize us fresh in your love today, God. Oh, the love that you have for us, we cannot even begin to imagine. But you gave your very best, which was Jesus, the emblem of love itself, because you first loved us. We're so thankful for that love today. And in Jesus' name, the church said amen and amen.
Amen. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing.
Got anything that they're blessed for this week? I've been blessed this week. Amen. Ain't that awesome? You know, if we think about it, we get blessed each and every day, you know. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
capture my heart with this love. Cause nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. You open my eyes to your wonders anew. You capture my heart with this love. Cause nothing on earth is as beautiful as you.
Coming to church and having fun. Laughter does the heart better than medication. That's exactly right. It's good to come to a place where you can be filled with positive things. It's good to come to church and expect to get something out of it. When we start coming in the doors of a church and going through a routine, then we need to examine ourselves, because for number one, you should be comfortable coming to church, but you should not be comfortable in your ministry, because we all have a ministry. What I mean by that is, sometimes we need to get out of our comfort zone to reach people. Could you imagine how Jesus felt going into some of the places he went to? Could you imagine how Jesus felt when he had his cross on his shoulder going to die for us? I couldn't put myself in that place to see what he felt or to feel what he felt. When we saw the movie The Passion of the Christ, to see that was something tangible. I was sitting in there with a bunch of ministers, and there wasn't a dry eye in that theater. They stuck the spear in his side, I could almost feel that. And then, from what I've been through in my life, to understand what he went through in his life to save somebody like me, yeah, that'll make you sit up and take notice. I know it made me take notice. That is the ultimate sacrifice. Hallelujah. God is good, y'all. All the time, God is good. Amen? But come to church expecting to get something to take out of here. Yeah, load up for the week.
God, and I will ever praise you.
have a place you can come and worship, guys. Freely. Not have to hide. Not have to worry about saying scripture in front of anybody. We are blessed. That's exactly right. We are blessed. Gosh. Some of the ministers from AEGA would tell some of their stories about going to Vietnam, especially Jack Ernest. Man, he blows me away with some of the stuff. But anyway, just to hear some of the stories, like they relish not the whole Bible, a page. A page. That's awesome. And here we are. There's people in this country that have never been in a church. There's people in this country that don't own a Bible. It's just sad. But the God I serve, He told us to take the word to the nations, amen? He told us to be obedient and do as He would have us to do. And that's the name of this game. It's to be understanding. Be obedient. And follow the Lord's commands. Sometimes I know that everyday life gets in our way and it throws us stumbling blocks. But nobody ever said that the devil was going to lay down and allow us to go a straight path and not have any troubles. That's not in the Bible. But what is in the Bible, that we have victory over Satan. He's under our feet, amen? So therefore, we need to stand up and take authority over that issue and move him out of our way and go on with life, amen? Oh, hallelujah. The God I serve is an awesome God. He's my King. I thank you, Jesus. The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice.
Is our God.
God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Woo. You know, guys, some Sundays, since I've been doing this, before I when I get here to make out the music list, I pray over everything that I do. And I pray that God will actually, for God, to direct me in everything I do up here. Because for number one, I'm going to be accountable if I tell you something wrong. That's on me. And I don't want to tell you anything wrong. But what I do share with you is a lot about myself and a lot about what I experienced. Whether that be good or bad, it's the truth. And some of the things I share are negative. But the positive side of that is something that God's brought me from that side unto this side. So therefore, between those two points, I come through it. I'm over here now. I don't have to look back over there, but sometimes I look back over there to glory in being over here. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes, ma'am. Let's share something.
As you all know, this song means a lot to me. The one we just sang, How Great Is Our God. It's the one that I listened to for 8 weeks. When my granddaughter was 4 and she was laying in a bed with encephalitis, and at first we didn't know if she was going to live or not. And then we didn't know if she was going to come out with any mental disabilities. In fact, they told us to take her home and train her back as far as we could get her. But they didn't really give us a lot of hope, Ricardo. That was the end of the medical report. Well, she was here last Sunday with me, as you all know. She's got a huge area of scar tissue still in her brain. The scar tissue isn't gone because of the infection. But what is gone is what the doctor said. The curse that the doctors wanted to put over her. She's making straight A's. She's getting ready to go in 9th grade. She's going to be in the International Baccalaureate program. She's going to take her first 2 college courses in September. She's in the marching band. You know, you have to have a little bit of brain power in order to march and read the music and remember the music. And she's in archery and making really, she made the highest grade for Tate's Creek last weekend. And they're going to the nationals. And I'm not saying that to brag on my granddaughter. I'm saying that to brag on the God who turned a negative report around. So when medicine gives you an ending point, God gives you a beginning point. And, you know, something hit me when I was singing that song, and I don't know where it even came from. But, you know, we had to read mythology in college. And I remember that the god of January was named Janus. That's where we got the name January. And he had 2 faces. That's how he was portrayed in all his statues. He had 2 faces because, you see, they called him the god of the beginning and the end. They called him the god of open doors and closed entrances. And I sat there, and I don't know why that came into my mind. And I said, God, why are you bringing that to my memory? I mean, we're praising you. And he said, you are to tell the people, Martha, do not pick up on anything that is counterfeit against God. Yes, the Romans can call that God their beginning and their end, but let me tell you what my God does that Janus don't do. He is alive. He heals. He saves our souls. He gives us an eternal life. He is there with us through everything. Our God is real. That Janus is just a stone. It is just a principle. So you go and you read and you think, oh, you know, this, and I'm I'm in healthcare. For those who don't know me, I'm a retired nurse. And I believe in healthcare, and I believe in doctors, and I believe in medicine. But you know what, Ricardo? It still won't work without God. He is the healer. The doctors will do things and give medicine that encourages healing, but he is the true healer. And if you're putting your faith only in medicine, then you're leaving God out of it. That's as much as worshiping another God. If you believe in anything other than God, and I may be stepping on some toes here, Ricardo, but I feel like I have to say it. If you believe in horoscopes, if you believe in the psychics, if you believe in anything else but God, you're not going to get the true answer. If you listen to your friends, and sometimes even if you listen to your family, and they speak out against God, you're not going where God wants you to go. We don't worship the Roman gods, but we do put our faith sometimes in things other than the true and real living God. We as Christians have the only true, live, living God that there is in any religion. And if we believe anything else but that, Ricardo, that's not the way God wants it. And the thing is, if you line up all the gods of all the world, which one can offer them anything near what our God offers us? And we turn our backs sometimes, and we turn a deaf ear, and we close our eyes. And it is time that we Christians get as serious about God and worshiping God and loving God and getting in the Word. Because there's a time coming, Ricardo, we may wish that we had a page of the Bible. And I want to thank you for letting me say what God put on my heart.
Hallelujah. That's what I like about this church, because people share. That's what it's all about. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you right now for the givers of this church, Lord. I thank you right now that they give freely, Lord God, and willingly. I thank you for blessing each and every individual, Lord God, and I thank you for blessing the cleaners and the people that take care of this building. In Jesus' name, amen. Failures. am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be.
Lord, I just thank you for your presence in this place right now. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit. Precious, precious Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Classes can be dismissed this morning. I said earlier the community service is at the Baptist Church. It's at the Methodist Church, which is on Barksville Street.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, the presence of the Lord. the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So glad all of you all are here today. So I just pray you receive this word today. This message came by the other day. I was somewhere, and there was just some things happened, and it was a God thing. And when I left there, God began to speak to me about a place called there, and how so important it is that we are where God wants us to be, not just for us, but for the people that surrounds us. So today we're going to be talking about a place called there. So today's message, but if I titled it, I would title it, today's message would be titled, Rise and Move. Because you never can get from here to there till you what? Rise up and what? And move, amen? So I don't know what has cost you to become stagnant at the place where you're at, or to become comfortable where you're at, but it's time to move on to the place called there. Amen. So for it is there, it's where God commands his blessing. And we get from here to there through trust and obedience. It's what takes us from here to there. But if we choose to stay, okay, let's just go with this. I'm getting ahead of myself. Deuteronomy 1:6 says, the Lord God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. So God told the children of Israel, you've dwelt long enough here. Turn and take your journey. Go to the mountains of the Amorites, all the neighboring places in the plain, mountains in the lowland in the south on the seacoast, to the land of the Canaanites in Lebanon as far as the great river. And the Israelites who left Egypt under the leadership of Moses, we're told. And they journeyed to Mount Sinai, a place where they would worship the Lord, so they would be ready to continue on their journey to the promised land. And then Exodus 19, you can go and read that about them getting to Mount Sinai. But mark how long it took them to get there and how long it took them to stay there. 40 years. Deuteronomy 1:3 says, now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him as commandments to them. So we see here from a land of bondage to a land of less than enough they traveled, to a land of hard labor, the Israelites were by this mountain cared for, protected, and provided for. And how easy it is to get to a place called there and be comfortable. Because it seems like we just settle for so much less than God says that as ours that we can have. You know, we feel like as long as we've got a roof over our head and clothes and food, what more could we want? But there is so much more. But God will sustain us at the place where we're at. But he said, hey, why are you lingering there when I have so much?
Began to get static, like, you know. You begin to just take things for granted. You begin to be uncomfortable, so to speak, where you're at. I'll use this one. Thanks for that. And so don't allow your present. Now listen to this, church. Don't allow your present their place to be your destined their place. Don't allow your present their place to be your destined their, your present their place to be your destined their place. For that which is before you is greater than that which is behind you. Amen. That which is before you is greater than that which is behind you. So I've got to have something big before me that serves as a challenge. Otherwise, we'll stop moving when the Lord says to move. So when you become stagnant in that place, all you can see in that place is what's around you. You have no vision for what's out there, that there is more. And the Bible says the people without a vision, what? Perish. So in order to keep moving and just sustaining and maintaining, we have to have a vision bigger than our present situation. Than our present situation, our present circumstances. The children of Israel had a trust issue with God. No matter how many times, now trust means to have confidence in the ability of someone. And no matter how many times God had been there before for them, had been there for them to deliver them time and time again from the hand of their enemy, they still doubted if God would do it again. They still had a trust issue. And how many times has God delivered us again and again from things, and we still want to stay in that place of just maintaining because we're just being sustained. And all we can see is just what's around us. We have no vision for something bigger and something more. So many times that God had been there, they had a trust issue with God. It was a their place, a promised land that God had said would be theirs. But they got to the edge of that mountain and they just stayed there. They couldn't see anything further than what was right there in front of them. So let's enlarge our borders and let's dream bigger, see bigger. Make the vision before us bigger than what it is at the moment. Their lack of trust in God kept them from their place where God had their blessing waiting. It was a their place, a promised land that God said flowed with milk and honey. But they had gotten comfortable where they were at. And so there's so much more that God has for them. Sometimes our lack of trust in Him causes us to stay in that place of comfort. Because as humans, we don't like to be uncomfortable. But in order to move and to rise, there are things that have to fall off of us. There are things that we may have to leave behind to get to their place. So as long as we are comfortable, we become satisfied. And so each of us has a place called there where the blessings of God are waiting. And God never fails to provide, but we often fail to receive because we're not willing to go with the change that takes us to the our place. Because again, as humans, we like to be comfortable, and heaven forbid if anything changes. Because we want to know when it's going to happen, why it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and who's going to make it happen. That's called being in control. And I found out with our relationship with God, we have to lose all self-control. And that's not easy for us to lose self-control. Because like I say, we want to know when, what, where, and how. And that's not trust. Amen? That's not trust. So these places called there that God wants us to go to changes. We must be willing to trust God to go to those places. When He says it's time to move, you've been here long enough. Anybody been at that place long enough? Anybody want to see things changed? It's time to rise and move. Do something that you've not done before. Amen. So God is saying to us that you've been there long enough. Sometimes we're not seeing the blessings of God and we're focusing on that one thing all the time. You know, like focusing on, and we all have desires and things we want God to do. But sometimes the blessings will come when we're obedient and step out and do something totally contrary or totally not our character to do. And God says, move. And then when you begin to move and trust me, that thing that you've been longing for and praying for will happen. Because we get so focused on that one thing that we're praying and petitioning God for that we forget that there is a trust and obedience part there. And sometimes, church, when we are just longing and hanging on to something and praying for it, sometimes it's out of fear and sometimes it's not out of trust in God. But sometimes we just need to give it to God, go about doing what He has called us to do, and get out of that place, and in obedience and trust to do that, we'll look back from the place that we go to the place that we were, and the thing that we've been crying out to God that we've decided to let go of, it just happens. Isn't that awesome? It just happens. Why? It's not the lack that God wants to provide His provision for us and His blessing for us. We got to quit hanging on to the old wineskin. Because God said, this is a new season and I'm doing a new thing. And in that, you've got to let go and let's move on. You've been at this place too long. You've been at this place so you've become stagnant. And you know what happens when water becomes stagnant? There's all kinds of things in that water. And so when we choose to stay at the edge of that mountain and refuse to move, it may be that we don't know that we're supposed to. It may be because we want to. We become comfortable with it and familiar with it. Glory to God. But when we choose to become stagnant there and don't want to move, we attach all kinds of things and attract all kinds of things to us because obedience is just rebellion in reverse form. Disobedience is just rebellion against what God has to say. So go back to just trusting and believing and obedience. And as you go, God will provide. Amen. Those places called there. I have more for you at that place called there. So let's talk about two men in the Bible. The first one we're going to talk about is Elijah. The Bible tells us in James 5:17 that Elijah was a man, was a person, subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he was like you and I. He had his ups and downs. He had his times when he doubted God. But he was a man that loved God and was a prophet of God. Elijah wasn't perfect, yet he called fire down from heaven 3 times. He was the first person to raise someone from the dead. He caused the greatest revival up in the history to that point. His word started and ended a 3-year drought. He multiplied food miraculously. And he was only one of only 2 men who never died and was caught up into heaven alive. Elijah delivered a word to Ahab in 1 Kings 17. And he said, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. That's getting out of your comfort zone. Because at that point, Elijah just stepped out in trust and obedience and said, this is what's going to happen. At my word, this is what's going to happen. It's not going to rain. There ain't going to be no dew for 3 years. And see, once we begin to step out of our comfort zone and start being obedient to God and church, it's the small things. Picking up the phone when you hear that inner voice, calling someone. And just talking to them. It's the small things that we sometimes overlook in trust and obedience to God that will lead us to that place called there. So, of course, this wasn't no small thing to stand up and prophesy and say, it's not going to rain. That's just what's going to happen. So after Elijah delivered the word, the Lord spoke to him and began to talk to him about how he was going to provide and sustain him. Elijah stepped out in obedience and prophesied what the word of the Lord said. He trusted. He obeyed God. And once you begin to do that, God will sustain you. God will provide for you. Because it's obedience and trust. It's what moves the hand of God. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Leave, turn eastward, hide in the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan, drink from the brook. I have directed the ravens to take care of you. See, what you've got to understand, that God has already gone before you to provide for you what you need in the place called there. Amen. He's already gone before you and provided for you. It's not that you walk and don't know what's going to happen or that you have to make it happen. God has already provided whatever you need. Then there was the place of God's will. There was the place of God's will for Elijah. There at the brook. There at the brook was the place for Elijah's blessing from God, the place where God was going to sustain him. So when we begin to step out and begin to be obedient to what God says, don't stop there because there's more. Don't camp out just there. Don't camp out at that place at the first time you're obedient, because there's more. Because there's more. Because God, and you know, church, I've told you time and time again how God leads us one step at a time, and that's all you need. And when you're obedient, he gives you enough light for that step that you're on. Then you just take the next step. You don't have to know the bigger picture. So God does reveal his complete plan and purpose for our lives at one time. But it's one step at a time. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. So one step at a time. So God told Elijah, go to the brook. He already, like I said, he already provided. He already commanded the ravens to bring Elijah bread and meat there every morning and every night. So God set the ravens up to feed the man of God when he got there. Even the birds obey God. So why should us humans have such a hard time believing God and doing what God says to do? So during a time of drought, what a miracle this was, that God had provided for Elijah in that fair place, because it's their place that God has commanded his blessing for you. And when that blessing happens, there is another their place. It's an ongoing and progressing as we progress in our relationship with God. There are many their places in our lives. But how easy it is for us to just settle for where we're at, when God says there is so much more, and I've already gone before you to provide the way. I'll take care of you at the place where you're at, because I'm God and I love you. But don't you see I've got so much more than where you're at right at the moment? All you have to do is trust and obey me. So the Lord didn't send Elijah's provision to where he was. Elijah had to rise up and move to the place called there to receive the provision that God had for him. So how many times do we just sit waiting for God to bring it to us? When God says, rise up and move, do something. Get out of your comfort zone. You know, well, I'm not called to do that. I'm not anointed to do that. Just do it. Just do it. Elijah's miracle wasn't where he was, but where the Lord was sending him to at their place. And each of us has a place called there where the blessings of God are waiting. And the Lord never fails to provide. So being all there is being at the place where God says to be at the time he says it to be. So if Elijah had not gone to his place called there, his disobedience would have stopped what God was wanting to do. So when the word D-I-S means, it means there is a separation there. So disobedience is what caused the hand of God to stop. It wasn't that God couldn't do it. It's that we've quit believing and we've quit trusting and we've quit obeying. And it's the smallest of things. So he would have not received the provision because it was over there where God said to go to. Deuteronomy 1:30 and 33 says, the Lord your God who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord cared for you as a father cares his son all the way until you reach this place. In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God who went ahead of you. Remember what we talked about a while ago, that he goes before you? You did not trust in the Lord your God who went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night, cloud by day, to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way to go. He goes back to trusting and obeying. The Lord God has gone before you and has provided the way. All he asks us to do is to rise, to move, to trust, and to obey, even when we are uncomfortable in doing it. So we are confident, be confident, that God has already gone before us. So don't get stuck at the bottom of the mountain of life. Don't get stuck at the bottom of the mountains of life and become stagnant. The place called there changes as, like I said before, as we progress in our relationship with God. And for the last three Sundays, God has brought that word before us about relationship. About relationship with him. That is what he wants. So we can see that Elijah, God changed the place and the method of how he provided for Elijah. 1 Kings 17 says, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, now rise and go. It's time to move again. It's time to move again, Elijah. You obeyed me. You gave the word to the king. I brought you to the brook and I sustained you there. That's where my blessing was at that time. Now it's time to get up and go again. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon. And I've commanded a widow woman. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. God had already been talking to the widow woman. He'd already prepared that fair place for Elijah to go. Elijah could have been disobedient to stay where he was at, but through trust and obedience, he got up and went. Elijah moved when the Lord told him to move. So he went to the widow's house. The widow gave him the last bit of the food she had. You know the story. And instead of this being her last meal before dying, the Lord multiplied this woman's supplies, which kept her son Elijah alive for 3 years. At 3 years, that dried up, and it was time to move again. And so many times we're cheating ourselves out of the blessings of God because we have stayed at the bottom of the mountain till we become stagnant when God is saying, move. It's time to move again. This is where my blessings are now. And it's at their place that God commands his blessing. Let's talk about one more, because I could go through all kinds of scripture about different people in the Bible. But Abraham, our father of faith, had a their place. Genesis 12:1 said, now in Haran, Haran means mountain. The Lord said to Abram at that time, go away from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. That was their place that God had a blessing for Abraham. But the first thing Abraham had to do was to be obedient, trust God into what he said, and get away from everything that was familiar to him. His family, his father's house, his relatives, his country, the place of familiarity will get you stagnant and keep you in a place where the blessings of God is no longer there at the moment. Abram could have stayed in his familiar place, but he chose to be obedient and go to the their place. And this is what God said if this would happen. Because of his obedience and trust in God, this will happen. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. So that the their place is just as important for us to be obedient and trust God in providing for us. But like I've told you all before, it's not just about us, because we are surrounded by a whole lot of people that are looking at our lives, that God wants us to bless them. So their place is not just about us, but it's about all of those that are around us in that their place. Amen. So I want to encourage you today to turn to the one who is more than able. Who is more than able, and he's waiting on us to be obedient. Who has made us more than conquerors, and we take him at his word. Verse 7 says, turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of whatever your mountain is or your their place. God has called all of us to a life of trust and obedience, even when it doesn't make sense. And sometimes when God tells us to trust and obey him and to go to that their place, a lot of times it don't make sense. Because if it made sense to our natural self, it's probably not God. But all he's asking us to do is step out. God has called us to a life of trust and obedience. Trust means to have confidence in the ability of someone. God has all the resources. He has the ability and everything that we need. And he is in position to give us that. Amen. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is what? Able to do exceedingly abundantly all we ask or think. Able means to be in a position to do and the ability to do something. So the way that I want, that I pray this word as minister to you today, if you are believing God for something in your life and it's not happened yet, it's not that God is holding it from you. You may be holding it from yourself by standing in a place where the brook is dried up. And God is saying, over there is where you need to be. And it could be just doing something in the house of the Lord. It could just, like I say, picking up the phone, doing something different that you've never done before. Could be that their place for you. I don't know. Stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for your word today. That we do not stay at the bottom of the mountain. I pray for those of us that have become stagnant, God, that you would shake us to the very core of our being, that we would get up and we would rise up and we would move to that there place, because it's different for all of us, God. We thank you, Lord, that you have gone before us and you have provided the provision, you have provided the way, and just like Abraham, God, trusted you and obeyed you and stepped out, so we shall do the same, Father. And I thank you for that right now. If you need prayer this morning, just raise your hand. Hallelujah. Father, you see these hands that are raised right now. Lord, if it's healing in their bodies, I just pray that they receive that healing right now in the name of Jesus. If it's a decision that they need to make, that you're the God of wisdom that lives big in them, that they make the decisions that need to be made, Father. If it's a door that needs to be opened, I thank you that you're the door opener, Father. I thank you right now that you would touch each and every person in this place right now that has their hand raised. In Jesus' name, that you are their provider, that you have gone before them, and you have made the way. And Father, I just speak your blessing over this congregation today, that they are blessed of the Lord, that they are highly favored of the Lord. And from this day forward, God, they will not leave like they came, in Jesus' name. That we begin to think about moving from here to there to that place where you've commanded the blessing. You're such an awesome God. We thank you and we praise you today, Father, for your abundant mercies on us, for meeting every need that we have, that you are the provider. And we're so thankful for that today, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if there's anyone here today that does not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you're listening by internet today, all you have to do is just say, Lord God, I come to you, and I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, and accept me as your child. And we thank you for that today, Lord. Thank you for your sweet presence in this place. thank you for your sweet presence in this place, God. Holy, holy, holy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Go and be a blessing to somebody this week. Amen.